Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I love the season of Advent in much the same way I love the season of Lent. Both are seasons of anticipation. Both are intentionally planned to interrupt our routines and to invite us to focus over a period of weeks on these most momentous events that occurred in the earthly life of Jesus and why they are so very important to us personally. We gather in the middle of a busy week when it's quiet and dark. We come together to anticipate what is coming. In these weeks, to anticipate the incarnation of God, and in the spring, in Lent, we gather on Wednesday evenings to anticipate the Passion, the death and resurrection of our Lord. And in both seasons, we take time to prepare for those events that fulfill God's covenant. A covenant of love and the promise of grace and life for us. It is as if God invites us into this special time of quiet intimacy in our faith-nurtured relationship with Him. Out there on the street, in the marketplace, in the shopping malls, and through every imaginable form of media, this is just another shopping day before Christmas. In here, among the body, the family of Christ, His church, it is Advent, our time to prepare for His coming and anticipate again the miraculous. The theologian Henry Nguyen says this of Advent: "We are called to be contemplatives, that is, seers, men and women who see the coming of God, and to see God's coming, one must often slow down. So we gather in the quiet and dark to see how the Son of the Most High is to be born in a stable, to see what this singular life accomplished in death and resurrection, and to see ahead toward the day of the Lord when His final return will be no subtle, largely hidden event in a little out-of-the-way village. Instead, it will be a glorious, world-consuming apocalypse. But for now, we anticipate and prepare." Much of the song of Advent carries us along in a minor key, inviting in our singing a tonality that evokes that same kind of contemplative attitude. And I suspect I am by no means alone in holding the hymn that is primarily before us tonight as a favorite of the Advent season. O come, Emmanuel, invites through its quietly mysterious, almost haunting melody in E minor, our contemplation of the many extraordinary characteristics of the child of Bethlehem, the Christ, the one who is God with us. Wisdom from on high, Lord of might, Brant of Jesse, Key of David, Desire of nations. Each of these is derived not from the mind of a clever poet or lyricist. These attributes by which we gain insight into who Jesus is come from Holy Scripture itself. And each verse, a petition that God would indeed come among us and then act with us, act on our behalf in many and various ways. And each refrain is the same joy-filled promise that Emmanuel shall indeed come to the Israel of God, who in our era encompasses all those whose faith is in Christ, the one who came to us in Bethlehem, the one who comes to us even now in His word and sacraments, and the one who will return again in great glory. How extraordinary it is that such a contemplative hymn would have such an epic proportion. All the more reason to hold it up as a favorite, I suppose, and continue its singing as one of the great traditions of Advent. I would invite you to open again to 357, O Come, Emmanuel. It likely carries the longest history of any Advent or Christmas hymn that we sing today, dating all the way back to the 9th century. The original Latin text was probably penned by a monk or a priest, and likely before 800 AD, that is, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. In its earliest form, the text is actually best reflected in the opposite page from the hymn, in what are called the great O Antiphons. And these great declarations, again, originally written in Latin, were used in the final 7 days before the celebration of the birth of our Lord. And together, they illustrate a kind of crescendo in preparation that one could easily imagine concluding with the proclamation of the angels themselves declaring over those fields in Bethlehem, "Today in the city of David is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And in that glorious announcement, the great promise of this hymn's refrain is fulfilled. Emmanuel has come. You cannot simply fabricate such great drama in the world. This is the kind of transcendent unfolding that only God can create. And so we do well to give voice to this great hymn with a feeling of breathless wonder and to marvel at the mystery of it all. And so consider what a few of the verses boldly reveal about the Christ. Beginning with the title, O Come, Emmanuel, of course, comes from Isaiah's prophecy, quoted in the fulfillment of the Gospel of Matthew. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Moreover, that verse declares, he shall ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Well, surely the writer was well acquainted with the more ancient people of Israel held in captive exile under the Babylonians. But now, in the days of Messiah, verse 1 is intended to call to mind St. Paul's writing to Timothy, where he says, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. We are the lonely exiles, captive not by a foreign power, but captive in the bonds of sin. We are those living in exile outside the paradise of true union and relationship with Almighty God, and we are ransomed only and entirely by the coming of Emmanuel. What great cause there is then for that first refrain, rejoice, rejoice. And immediately this treasured Advent hymn is personal. Verse 3, O come, thou Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times didst give the law in cloud and majesty and awe. We don't always associate Jesus with the giving of the law in Exodus 19 and 20. But in the Gospel of John, we are reminded that Jesus is the very incarnate Word of God. And so where the Word of God is given, there is our Lord. O come, thou branch of Jesse's tree. And here again, the prophecy of Isaiah, this time from chapter 11, as we read just a moment ago. The Lord God is fulfilling the promise that Messiah would come from the house and lineage of David, whose father was Jesse, of course. But this verse, this is far more than just an Old Testament lesson or some kind of historic affirmation. Free them from Satan's tyranny, that trust thy mighty power to save, and give them victory or the grave, the verse concludes. And here we boldly profess and pray with St. Paul the power of Christ, even over our own deaths. As he declared in 1 Corinthians, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again we sing, rejoice, rejoice. Each verse reveals scriptural truths about our Lord that have their ultimate purpose in God's holy desire and promise to be with us in Jesus. Each evokes a plaintive prayer for the coming of Christ to be an ever-present reality and hope in our daily lives, in much the same way as we pray, Thy kingdom come, in the prayer our Lord taught us himself. Surely, that should be cause enough for us to pause from our daily routines and contemplate, in the quiet and dark, the magnitude of God's grace in our lives. May we do just that in this season, as we sing, as we pray, and as we prepare. For Jesus has come to you. Amen. And may the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, guard our hearts and minds by the promise that Christ has come, now and always. Amen. I invite you to be seated for the offering.